This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. Reaction is coming in from students across the nation on today's Supreme Court ruling on affirmative action in admissions policies. Steve Sandberg reports.
Affirmative action in college admissions at the University of Michigan is upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court, sending shockwaves to the campus of Princeton University in New Jersey, where students are reacting.
It almost scares me to think that it was this possibility that it would have been taken away.
I don't think that you could minimize the importance of race as opposed to all these other factors that go into assessing the total potential of a student.
While race maybe could play a role in admission, I don't believe that it should play a numerical role.
And the High Court agreed in a split decision, striking down UM's use of a point system. Steve Sandberg, Princeton.
National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice will go to the Middle East this weekend to hold talks with Palestinian and Israeli leaders. She and Secretary of State Colin Powell were designated by the president as key representatives to try to get the roadmap plan for peace back on track. The plan has suffered setbacks recently, as Palestinian militants and Israelis have both staged attacks against each other over the past few weeks. Add another name to the list of 2004 Democratic presidential hopefuls. Former Vermont Governor Howard Dean has officially announced he is in the race for the White House. The 54-year-old liberal Democrat says he wants to raise the issue of health care for every American and to focus on child development. Recent polls have put Dean and Massachusetts Senator John Kerry as leading the field among Democratic presidential candidates for New Hampshire. The World Health Organization says Hong Kong is SARS-free. The organization says it is taking Hong Kong off the list of places with ongoing new infections. More in a moment.
Hey, Larry, baby, you want to go for a ride?
Why, Vince, I didn't know you cared.
I don't, but I'm looking for a baby.
But, Vince, we're crash dummies.
Well, your head's about the size of a baby.
What are you doing?
Taking it off! I'm using your head in a rear-facing infancy.
Why?
To show how babies up front are in airbag danger.
You know I get sick when I ride backwards and without a body.
Up in front, kids won't know what hit them when the airbag blows.
Then why do people put their kids up front, Vince?
I don't know. Maybe it makes them feel better to see them sitting by their side. Although, if my baby looked like you, he'd ride in the truck.
Hey, where are we going, Vince?
Yeah, you know that brick wall with the big bullseye?
I can see it vaguely in the back of my mind.
Well, in 2 seconds, that's exactly where it's going to be. Holy cow, Larry, you're embedded in the seat.
Fire.
I can't understand you. I'll go get a tire iron.
Thank you.
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your kids in the back seat. A message from the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Stocks dropped sharply in the week's opening session. The Dow Jones Industrial Average today slid 128 points to 9073. The NASDAQ fell 34 points to 1611. And the S&P 500 lost 14 points to 982. It's widely expected that Federal Reserve policymakers will cut interest rates this week. The only question among Fed watchers is if the rates will be lowered by a quarter or a half percentage point. More news after this.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Defending champion Leighton Hewitt has crashed out of Wimbledon in the first round. It's one of the biggest upsets ever to hit the tournament. The Australian was beaten in four sets by qualifier Ivo Karlovic. Suzanne Chislett has more from London.
For the thousands of tennis fans who'd queued through the night in the hopes of getting prize tickets for the first match on centre court, this is one they'll never forget. World number two Leighton Hewitt won the first set against the 6 foot 10 inch Croatian 6-1, taking just 19 minutes. But then the plans fell apart and he lost the next three sets. Karlovic is ranked 203rd in the world and had never played in a Grand Slam tournament before. His victory over Hewitt leaves the Australian as the first defending Wimbledon men's champion to lose in the first round since tennis turned professional in 1968. The final score 1-6, 7-6, 6-3, 6-4. Suzanne Chislett, London.
I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop. Does your car sound like the Clydesdales in Fast Forward? The problem could be unhealthy joints. No, not the horses, your cars. When we come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. That clacking could be a sign of old age in your car's CV or constant velocity joints. These flexible joints allow drive shafts and axles to steer cars smoothly. But if they don't function properly, axles could freeze up or even fall off. How do you recognize faulty CV joints? Popping and clicking when turning and clunking when accelerating are classic signs. And if you can create these noises by putting your car in reverse and backing in a circle, your CV joints are really aching. So communicate these symptoms to your technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing war, life's life.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Day. Robin Bittman announces for us. Welcome to listeners on the IE America Radio Network, Sirius Satellite 145, radiopower.org, and the White Rose Society.org. We have some fun audio clips of Too Stupid to Be President speaking way out of his league to actual smart people in the biotech industry today. You're going to find it sickeningly amusing. And for the Howard Dean fans, we have some clips of candidate now, Dean, blasting Bush as he officially announces his candidacy earlier today. All right, now I'm going to start the program tonight with something I normally don't do. I'm going to talk to you for a moment about the firing of Peter Werbe. The reason I don't do this, when it has happened in the past when I've worked at radio stations and other talk show hosts would not talk about me when I've been fired, is because there is a rule in talk radio that when somebody disappears, they just disappear in radio. And frankly, I've never liked that rule. I think it sucks big time. What Peter has posted his website is, as far as I know, is pretty much the truth. He got a call last Friday when his program was over at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, went into the boss's office, and was told because of financial considerations they could no longer afford to have his show on the air. Now, Peter, like me, until he was released by IE America, gets paid the AFTRA union minimum for nationally syndicated talk show hosts. It's not a lot of money. It's enough where you make a living. Without, you know, revealing everything about myself or Peter's financial state, it's a fairly good living. It's not six figures. It's five figures. But anyway, so Peter was informed that he, because of financial considerations by the UAW, his time with his network is up. There is no doubt in my mind that eventually I will probably get the same phone call. I haven't gotten it yet. I'd like to see that time as far away in the future as possible. But reality being reality, that's one of the reasons I always say when I sign off, and I'll see you tomorrow, I hope. You never know in this business. I don't care who you work for. You can work for ABC, IE America Radio Network, Clear Channel, excuse me, or some rinky-dink radio station in East Elbow, Arkansas. You never know. This is not a business you go into if you're looking for job security. Now, Peter's okay. He's pissed off, and rightly so. I'm not sure what Peter will do to handle his anger. He and I are friends. I never knew Peter before we met 3 years ago because of both of our working for this network. But one of the things you learn in radio, you have to learn it, is you land on your feet. It may take a while. You may have to take some other job in the meantime. You may have to go to, like I've done in the past, go to work for CNN, do telemarketing, teach horseback riding, whatever the hell it is. But you kind of learn that. You've got to be resilient. You got to be able to bounce in this business. Now, as far as Peter going on, I would think he would if he's got the desire, if he's got the fire in his belly to continue, he'll find another gig. Now, he still has a gig in Detroit on, what is it, Kathy, Sunday nights? And what station, do you know? I think it's WRIF, like Frank. You can go to peterwerby.com, excuse me, and you'll find the link. And, you know, he's been on Detroit radio, separate from the IE America Radio Network, for a long time. He's, as a matter of fact, I think some people refer to him as the dean of Detroit talk radio. Maybe he refers to himself that way. Who knows? Now, as far as my feelings about this, it makes me angry. Peter Werby not only was a good friend, but he's a colleague in this business where, frankly, liberal talk show hosts do not have many colleagues. I hate to see what has happen. There's absolutely nothing I can do about it. There's absolutely nothing Peter can do about it. And, frankly, there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Now, which is not to suggest that you don't send your emails to the IE America Radio Network and send a copy to Peter to let this network understand how you feel. That's fair. This network asks you to listen to the program. So when they make a dramatic change like this, they have an obligation to hear how you respond to that dramatic change. You don't write to them and call them sons of bitches and MFers but you should write to this network, as Peter has asked his listeners to do, and express your opinion. Again, I don't like the fact that it's happened. Now, the program that was to replace Peter today, there was some technical difficulty at the last minute. And it's my understanding that the network ran a two-hour tape of our Friday, first 2 hours of our Friday show, which is fine with me. I mean, filling up airspace with programming, if all of a sudden your plans fall apart, that's just the way it goes in radio. But I am not the person who's going to substitute for Peter Werby. I have no idea what this network has in mind in his time slot. None whatsoever. I've heard this person, that person, but I don't know. Now, was Peter's firing political? I honestly did not think so. That's my opinion. Peter works in the home office. He works up in Detroit. He's closer to the center of the storm than I am. I'm down here in the Atlanta area. But given what I say on this program and what Peter says on his program, if it were a matter of stifling a political opinion that was harsh and anti-Bush and cruel to Republicans, I have a feeling that I would have gotten the axe first. Again, I have to believe what Peter put at his website, that he was called into the general manager's office and he was told it was a financial consideration. And because of this financial consideration, they were going to terminate his program. I have to believe that simply because nobody has presented any evidence to the contrary, but also because you have to take a look at who owns this network. This network is owned by a union, for God's sake, by a union that is comprised of working-class auto workers. It's the United Auto Workers Union that owns IE America Radio Network. I do not believe that the UAW would fire a talk show host because his opinion were too liberal, or too progressive, or too leftist, even. Remember, the United Auto Workers, in its earliest incarnation, like the United Mine Workers, used to put people on the street in order to fight against Henry Ford's armed thugs and goons and private armies. So this is not a union. that would sit back on its haunches and say, well, you know, he was a little bit too liberal. We better get rid of him. So if that is circulating out there among some of the websites about people who are curious what happened, I think you are safe in saying that's not the case. Now, again, I have to say a caveat with that. I'm not in Detroit. I don't know what sort of relationship Peter had with the Home Office or with the UAW. I'm sure it was intense. You know, you don't work around the Home Office without stepping on somebody's skirt once in a while or their pants cuffs. You know how that works. The network itself still continues in an abbreviated form, as you know. If you listen for any given period during the day, and again, I have no earthly idea. I have no idea how long ABC will be ABC Radio Network. I have no idea how long IE America Radio will be a network. As long as IE America Radio Network exists, though, there will be programming on it. This is not a move to the right. It is not an attempt to moderate the points of view on this radio station. We already have a program that gobbles up most of the hours on this network that is, by any stretch of definition, moderate, if not slightly conservative. And I'm referring, of course, to the Doug Steffen Show. But his program is carried on, I think, three networks. It's not an IE America Radio property. So no attempt here to stifle Peter's voice. That happens to be a consequence of his being removed from the air, though, obviously. And for that, I'm sad and I'm angry. And I grieve the fact that his program is no longer on this network. Peter and I worked good together. We didn't spend that much time together. He was a good cop. I was a bad cop. He would put guests on. I wouldn't. He would say there's ways to do this. I would say, yeah, there's ways to do it. Pick up a club. Beat the living hell out of somebody. We had different approaches to the same basic message. So, frankly, I'm going to miss working on the same network as Peter. Hopefully he and I will continue the friendship that we've had since we both started with this network about 3 years ago. But I just, again, I wanted to get that said. And the bottom line here is if the truth was told, if it was financial considerations that all of a sudden there's not a lot of money for the network, okay, I understand. If at any future time I would find out that the UAW had pulled Peter because of political point of view, I would be infuriated and do anything in my power to expose that kind of Soviet thinking. But I don't think that's the case. We shall see. So, wanted to get that said. It's said. All right. Well, I thought it would take a minute longer so we could go right to a break. I guess it didn't. Damn. Just very quickly, because I'll have to touch on this when we come back from the break. Well, no, because I want to play. I want to play a little soundbite that we played for you last week. Ashcroft talking about Iman Ferris. Do you remember the Chicago, the Cincinnati truck driver who was busted, and we didn't know about it for about a week, and he's already copped a plea. He's facing 20 years in prison. Have you heard the latest? Excuse me again. Have you heard the latest about Iman Ferris, as reported by the Telegraph, the London Telegraph, or the Telegraph of the UK? What he was actually doing for the past several months? You haven't heard that? Then we shall share it with you when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
So long, honey, baby, where I'm bound, I can't tell. Goodbye is too good a word, baby, so I just say fairly well. And it ain't no use in turning on your light, baby, I'm on the dark side of the road. But I wish there was something you would do or say, try and make me change my mind and stay. But we never did too much talking anyway. But don't think twice, it's all right.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show.
Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
Alrighty, then.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
To see why people would call you up, you really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. All right, before we do this bit on Iman Ferris, a couple of phone calls here. I'm going to try real strenuously this week to not keep people on the phone for 2 hours. I know how irritating that is. Dr. Leah is calling from Helena, Montana. Hey.
Hey, Mike. Dr. Leah.
Well, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've got several of you.
Certain kind of doctor.
Right. Well, a doctor of bad news or what?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I had emailed you about possibly being, you know, the bureau chief of Helena, Montana. Hey.
You did? You emailed me? Well, your request is my command, so we don't have a bureau chief in Helena, Montana. So...
Do you have a bureau chief in Montana?
Actually, no. Now, don't get greedy. We're hoping at some point to, you know, maybe pick up another listener in the great state of Montana. But for the time being, you're the only request we've had from Montana, and Helena is the capital, is it not?
It is.
Well, there you go.
Hey.
So I'm more than pleased to declare by executive order. Christ, I sound like Bush. That you are the Helena, Montana bureau chief.
I'm honored.
With all rights and privileges thereto accruing, which are nothing, absolutely nothing.
Onuses.
Well, it bumps you up on Ashcroft's Malloy's listeners terrorist list.
Oh, great.
So when you're a bureau chief, that means obviously we're feeding information to Al Qaeda. So there you go. But no, happy to have you as a bureau chief, Leah. That's great.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I don't often get to listen to you live because of your new time. So.
Right. Well, you can be a bureau chief and pick it up on White Rose Society, but occasionally you have to call in.
Oh, I will do my best. I'll get the babysitting and call you.
Okay. Is that it for the night, dear heart?
Yeah, I wanted to say I really appreciated your piece with Michael Rupert.
Yeah, Rupert. Uh-huh.
That was really wonderful. I had emailed you about a conference I had checked out the proceedings of.
Mm-hmm.
And they had referenced Meadows et al. On Beyond the Limits,
uh-huh.
where they had a model in 72 had predicted, you know, certain amounts of resource using and quality of life degradation and things like that. And mm-hmm. then in 92 ran the model again and realized that its predictive value was pretty strong.
Mm-hmm. So
and I thought that was right along the lines of what Rupert was saying, that, you know,
indeed.
We're using this up within your and my lifetime.
That's it.
And at least our kids.
Yeah. It's,
and that's the scary thing to me. And you know, I talk to a lot of my friends who are complacent and think this will go on forever, and it's really tough to get it through.
It is. It's hard to get through to people. It's such an enormous problem, because to consider this whole idea of peak oil or we've been told for 30 years that we are using non-renewable resources, but that just doesn't compute. We've had our little 30 years of Earth days, and we've had this, and we have people that climb up in trees and sit there, and everybody goes, oh, wow, yeah, you know, that's really true. Here in Atlanta, in the past 28 years that I've been here, the quality of life has gone right into the commode because of development and construction and freeways. We're all aware of this.
Yeah.
But to try to contain in our little minds, or at least that part of it, our minds that we use, this idea that truly, really, honestly, no kidding, all
right.
of the gas and oil is going to
right.
disappear.
Right.
That's almost impossible to get that in our little pumpkin heads.
No, but to counter this, not to say that to me, the way this is going to go is, of course, it's going to be this apocalyptic, you know.
Oh, well, that's right. That's
and
right.
That's how it's going to go. And no science will even enter into it.
I know.
It's sad.
I know. Well, listen, I'm glad you called in. You
Thank
are now
you.
The Helena, Montana Bureau Chief, and don't be a stranger, Leah.
Like a shame. Thank you.
All right, you take care. Quick break here. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
General Motors has announced it will float $13 billion worth of new bonds to shore up its grossly underfunded pension plan. At the end of 2002, GM's pension funds were more than $19 billion in the red, the largest pension deficit of any U.S. company. The bigger picture of corporate America itself is not good either. The 500 companies rated on the Standard & Poor's Stock Index have pension accounts that are collectively underfunded by at least $240 billion.
Hundreds of teachers and public employees took to the streets of downtown Miami last Friday protesting school privatization plans and a standardized testing system they charge is testing Florida's children to death. Joe Cortese, head of the Dade County School Maintenance Employee Committee, says workers' wages and benefits suffer when schools are sold off to the private sector.
Privatization just doesn't work, and that's all there is to it. We've showed them that in no uncertain terms. And we are not going to let them do it down here. We've been fighting them tooth and nail.
Under a state law favored by Florida Governor Jeb Bush, public school students in the Sunshine State are required to pass a standardized test called the FCAT in order to advance from one grade to the next. As a result, more than 12,000 Florida high school seniors who would have otherwise graduated weren't able to pick up their diplomas this year. Most of them were black or Hispanic students. Shirley Johnson, acting president of the United Teachers of Dade County, says elementary school children are being held back, too.
We have over close to about 7,000 third graders who may not be going into the fourth grade.
Oh, no.
We have to make sure that no child is left behind.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
Oh, that's good. Leave the mic open and clear your throat. Yeah. That'll bring in lots of new listeners. Sorry about that. All right, here's the story. Last week, Ashcroft got all religiously insane on us again, greased himself up with Crisco oil, anointed himself because he was about to go out and talk about a captured terrorist. And here's what he said when he had the press conference. When was it, Kathy? Last week? Here it is.
Secret agent man. Secret agent man.
On any given day, Iman Ferris appeared to be a hardworking, independent truck driver. Working out of Columbus, Ohio, he freely crisscrossed the country, making deliveries to airports and businesses without raising a suspicion.
Yeah, but...
But Ferris led a secret double life. He traveled to Pakistan and to Afghanistan.
No.
Covertly met with Osama bin Laden.
Oh.
Joined Al-Qaeda's jihad against America.
Secret agent man.
Well, what a rat. What a rat this Iman Ferris was, huh? Oh, my God. Met with Osama bin Laden. Joined the jihad. Sat around and smoked Gitan cigarettes with Fidel Castro. I mean, this guy is really bad. Well, guess what? That American Al-Qaeda operative that was so thoroughly unmasked by the religiously insane John Ashcroft last week as having planned to bring down the Brooklyn Bridge, among other things, was first arrested back in March. Now, let me see. What is today? Oh, this is June. Arrested back in March. And he has been used by the FBI for all these months as a double agent. This is according to the Telegraph of London. U.S. authorities, according to the Telegraph, said waited until last week to announce a plea bargain. A plea bargain struck with Ayman Faris, a Pakistani-born truck driver. Now, think about that for a second. A plea bargain. Here's somebody who was going to blow up the Brooklyn Bridge. A plea bargain. Okay. U.S. authorities did not say. As a matter of fact, I heard Ashcroft trying to be as literate as he is capable of being. By night, Lyman Faris, or is it Ayman? I'm sorry. Ayman Faris was a truck driver, but by day, he pulled the wings off of ferries and beat children to death with blunt instrument. You know, I didn't hear Ashcroft say anything about the fact that Faris has been under FBI control for months. Did you hear that? Justice Department officials, panting heavily from Ashcroft's attempt at... At what? Was that Hemingway? No? Who was it? Justice Department officials told Time magazine that Faris was secretly detained about 2 weeks after the dramatic capture on March 1st of the guy who looks like John Belushi. You know, the guy in his undershirt? Khalid Sheikh Mohammed? Al-Qaeda's either chief of operations or number one janitor? One of the two? Who knows? So way back then, they got Faris. Well, I guess it's because Sheikh Mohammed, or whatever the hell his name is, said, you don't want me, you want this other guy. He's going to blow up Brooklyn Bridge. So they got him. And they put him in a safe house in Virginia. This is back in March. And then they gave him an unlimited calling card and said, now, call terrorist commanders and then make stuff happen. So Faris sent messages to the terrorist commanders by mobile phone and email, paid for by the FBI. But they're gloating. A senior Bush administration official told Time magazine, now that could either be Cheney, Rumsfeld, Rove, or Card. Now, possibly Wolfowitz. But this person told Time magazine, he was sitting in a safe house making calls for us. It was a huge triumph. Snicker, snicker. Why did we fool those Al-Qaeda operatives, huh? So after pleading guilty to offering material support to Al-Qaeda, Ayman Faris will be sentenced in August. He faces up to 20 years in prison. I don't know. I guess being attorney general, you get busy. You got prayer breakfasts to attend. You've got oilings to submit to. You have to do your singing, record your CDs. You have to insist people call you general. I guess somewhere in all that, an attorney general might lose sight of the fact that this guy has been an FBI operative since last March and forget to share that with the American public when the announcement is made that this evil snake,
by day, Ayman Faris, was a truck driver from Cincinnati. But by night, he would scout out bookstores, looking for lines of children trying to buy Harry Potter. He would always go to the end of the line and snatch the last three, pull them into an alley, and beat them mercilessly.
These people are sick. These people are sick. They're beyond sick. Okay. Just wanted to show that with you, or share that with you. Ted is calling from Portland. Hey, Ted.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Oh, well, that whole Ashcroft thing is just incredible. I mean,
Now I haven't seen that. It's in the British papers, but I haven't seen it in American papers, and I haven't seen it on television. Of course, I don't watch television, but I haven't read it in the Times or the Post. Have you?
Well, I really haven't been online. I just heard it from you, but I'll go and look and see what I can find and pass it around.
Yeah, it's reported by the Independent of the UK that this guy has been on in an FBI safe house since last March. I just don't remember seeing that on the 6 o'clock or the 8 o'clock or the 11 o'clock news. Whatever, maybe it's me. But that's not why you called.
Well, shades of Jessica Lynch, all this other disinformation. Well, the first thing I just want to say quickly is I'm really sad and aggravated by Peter Werby's firing. And
Me too.
And I think, you know, he's very talented, and I think if Anshell Media or some other startup that is going to start exploring the non-right market, he should be their man.
I think so. Peter is an excellent talent from the progressive left. He will land on his feet if it may take a while, who knows? Anshell, I don't believe, is going to start till this fall. The last time I got fired, I guess I went about 8 months before something new came along. So it takes a while. But Peter, you're right. Peter's talented. He's a good spokesman for the progressive left. I'm sure something will turn up for him.
And they should, hopefully it'll be the team of he and Julian, because she's really, I think, a good partner for him.
Uh-huh.
So, what I wanted to talk about was Mike Rupert.
Mm.
And, the thing is, I've seen Mike Rupert and, in one of his lectures, and obviously, gone to his website. I think he does a lot of good research, and, you know, certainly his understanding of peak oil is pretty impressive. It's not a subject I really know much about. It's kind of something I've surmised. But on the other hand, some of his message I really disagree with, which is that he, makes statements like both parties are equally corrupt, and, he doesn't really give any options or alternatives. You know,
mm-hmm.
He's just saying, well, this is going to happen, and, it doesn't sound like there's anything we can do about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think what... Really, although I'm not, I still kind of think that there's a way of working things out through capitalism. Maybe what he's really saying is that capitalism is going to exhaust all our resources.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's really indicting capitalism, he needs to step up to the plate and say, we need to do something else, rather than say, well, vote one way, vote the other, it'll be better background music. Well, I mean, okay, maybe it'll be better background music, but let's say, you were talking last week about those kids.
Right.
The disabled kids who, mm-hmm. Bush is gutting that. Let's have them have better background music. It matters to their lives in the present tense,
mm-hmm.
that their lives are better. I mean, there are so many things where people's lives could be better immediately. Sure, I mean, Democrats bug me. They're wimpy. There are a few good ones. And,
mm-hmm.
I'm...
No, I understand what you're saying. I do not subscribe to the belief whether I don't care if my friends put it out or if Nader puts it out or if the Greens put it out,
right.
That there's not a dime's worth of difference between the policies of the two major parties.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't have Ashcroft.
Right.
I mean, you wouldn't have this insanity.
Absolutely.
And the other thing is PNAC. I mean, the Project for a New American Century. They weren't passing papers drawing up this Pax Americana invasion of Iraq to Al Gore.
Right.
They were giving them to George Bush while he was on the campaign trail. And,
Well, they actually gave them to Bill Clinton, and Clinton back in the late 90s, and Clinton told them to go screw themselves.
Oh, I know they approached
right,
him,
and shortly after that, we found out about Monica. Isn't that interesting?
But he didn't take them to, he didn't embrace them.
No, of course not. I'm agreeing with you. They were presented to Clinton, and Clinton
right.
more or less said, get the hell out of my face with this crap. And then the next
right.
thing you know,
right.
we've got Monica.
Exactly.
Lewinsky, okay?
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing that bothers me is I think that Mike Rupert really hangs on to this whole Council on Foreign Relations is running the whole world and the whole show, and I don't think it's that simple. You know, I mean,
well,
they have power, but I mean, he sort of ignores the new right. He ignores the Richard Mellon-scapes,
right?
Heritage Foundation.
Sure. And you're right, but
and actually, it starts to sound like the exact same thing that the John Birch Society and the New Right actually scapegoats. The Council for Relations is a nasty group, I think. But they use them as the boogeyman, and he actually borrows from that whole kind of conspiracy theory, which is, you know, the Council on Foreign Relations, it used to be, you know, oh, they're going to turn us all into communists. And,
right.
You know?
Well, when you're dealing on this level, when you're dealing on the level that a Mike Rupert deals on, it's easy to get sucked one direction or another by
right.
some of these organizations. I happen to think that the Council on Foreign Relations is not a force for good.
No.
Now to what extent they wield their power globally, that's up for discussion. To what extent Carlyle Group causes wars is up for debate. To what extent Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Root are vampires is open to debate. But I don't have a problem, I really don't, with Rupert focusing to the degree that he does on the Council on Foreign Relations or the Club of Rome or the Bilderbergs. You know, I don't look around and say, oh, my God, there's a Masonic temple down the street. Oh, geez,
yeah.
The Martians are coming.
Sound like, you know, it's going to be John Kerry or Bush. They're all going to be the same.
I understand. I understand. And that's a mistake.
I think so.
That's a mistake.
The Council on Foreign Relations. Relations, you know, they certainly are a nasty, you know, there are a lot of things about them that they do, but, you know, the other side of the coin is the New Right and the Heritage Foundation,
sure.
and you see the way they tear away at each other. I mean, the New Right tried to destroy Clinton, obviously.
Sure, absolutely.
So, you know, to think
point
that
taken.
They're all in concert, I think, is a mistake.
Point taken, Ted.
Entirely, yeah.
All right, sir. Thanks for checking in.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Appreciate it. Ted is right. There is sometimes a little bit too much emphasis, maybe, on these organizations that really don't have as much power of being vile as the New Right does, as the neo-fascist right does. Now, before anybody misunderstands what I said in the conversation with Ted about I do see a difference between Democrats and Republicans, I'm not talking about necessarily major differences in their approach to globalization. I think that's pretty much the same. In their approach to business practices, in their approach to the justice system in this country, I think both of them suck big time on that level. I do not like what the Democratic Party has become. But as Ted pointed out, and neither Ted nor I possess a crystal ball, but I think both of us would be willing to bet the ranch that there would be no John Ashcroft, there would be no Patriot Act, and in fact, there probably would not have been an attack on this country on September 11, 2001. The economy would not be tanking. The destruction of the infrastructure of this society would not be on top of a President Gore agenda. The desertion of global treaties would not be part of the Gore agenda. So, and you can make an argument, and a very good one, that Gore is Republican lie. I'm not going to debate that because I happen to agree with it. But the devil, as they say, is in the details. And an Al Gore presidency would have been another Republican presidency. But it wouldn't have been a fascist presidency. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, of course you do. Of course you do. Okay? I just don't want to open up that can of worms again about, Greens and Democrats. If the Greens and Democrats don't get their act together, it's going to be 16, 4, 8, 12, 12 more years of Republican destruction of this country. So better start working together. Who was it? Was it Ben Franklin that says the... I don't know if Franklin or not, somebody, if we don't hang together, we're going to hang separately. If ever that applied since the Revolutionary War, it certainly applies now. So I am hoping that progressives, Greens, independents, and Democrats, whatever it takes, will work it out and get this pretender, this unconscionable mass murderer, this executioner, this psychopath out of the Oval Office. That's what I'm hoping, right? All right, quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Another audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Robert is calling from L.A. in California. Hey, Robert.
Oh, what's up, Mike? How you doing?
You're up.
That's good.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Democratic Party, and you're right. Certainly, we need to really get together and try to take back, I don't know, just take back the term liberalism from it being a dirty word which has been manipulated by all these jackass right-wing punks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it, you know, that, you know, it really burns me up. And I think what really so disheartening is the fact that we have now seen a lot of the Democrats, you know, become so so nice, you know, so, you know, trying to be all cordial and, you know, try to be, you know, not be too much critical to the so-called president, you know, and it really bothers me and stuff. And I think it's somebody like specifically Kucinich, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, I hope I'm making sense here, should just say straight up to listen, Bush, you're a damn liar. You went into this war for all the wrong reasons.
Well, Kucinich has come the closest to that.
Yeah.
I would like to see, and Kerry's starting to dance around the issue a little bit. So is Dean.
Uh-huh.
But you know, they can be written off. The media writes them off, and the Republicans write them off by saying, "Well, you're political candidates. So anything you say is not only suspect." But it's just political rhetoric.
Well,
you know what has to happen? What has to happen is the Democratic leaders in the Senate and the House have to start saying, look, we have to impeach this bastard.
Exactly.
They have to go to work with some of the moderate Republicans and try anything, no matter what kind of dirty trick it takes, to get a bill of impeachment introduced in the U.S. House of Representatives and then work like hell. These presidential candidates, they can't do anything. They're not going to do anything. They're not going to do anything. I don't care if it's Kucinich, Nader, or Jesus. They're not going to do anything.
Right, exactly. It all depends on how the Democrats in the House and the Senate will, you know, what they'll do. And
that's right.
To be honest with you, I don't think they're going to do anything.
As long as these Democrats keep sitting back, well, we don't want to offend our president because, you know, there's a war going on. You know, as long as they do that, this chump is going to roll over them like they deserve to be rolled over.
Yeah.
You know, that's real simple. That's real simple.
Yeah. Real quickly before the break comes up, I wanted to get your viewpoint on this current situation going on in California that they're going to on the verge of recalling Governor Gray Davis.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me get back to that when the break's over.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you checking in, Robert. You have a nice evening. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Steff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
This is
is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Hubert. The University of Michigan's law school's admission policy that takes race into consideration will stay in place. The U.S. Supreme Court upheld the policy in one of two rulings Monday on affirmative action at the Ann Arbor School. And while the justices upheld the law school's policy, they struck down the university's affirmative action policy on undergraduate admissions. Free speech advocates are not happy over the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overrule a special three-judge federal court panel in Philadelphia. It ruled earlier that libraries violate the First Amendment whenever they use filters to block out pornographic websites. It's an uphill battle for firefighters battling a monster blaze in the Santa Catalina Mountains near Tucson, Arizona. The nearly week-old Aspen fire has consumed more than 12,000 acres and remains at 5% containment. Mother Nature's been hampering efforts to get the wildfire under control as temperatures remain high, humidity low, and the wind strong. The cause of the wildfire that has damaged or destroyed more than 250 homes is still unknown. The United States is downplaying reports suggesting Saddam Hussein or his sons were killed in a U.S.-led attack on a convoy going from Iraq to Syria. Defense officials confirm the attack was launched because of intelligence indicating location of regime figures, but say they aren't aware of any DNA testing taking place to try to identify the people who were killed in the incident, as a British newspaper earlier reported. Two American college students who were the subject of a massive search in the forests of Puerto Rico are dead. The bodies of Colin Mike Ewers of Bloomington, Minnesota, and Christopher Kit Riley of Miami, Florida, were found Monday, not far from where they were last seen. The two men had gone hiking with a third person, but got separated and never emerged from the forest. The woman was able to make her way out and call for help. Searchers believe the two men had gone swimming and were washed downriver. Former Atlanta Mayor Maynard Jackson is being remembered as a man who ushered in a new generation of leaders. Jackson, who was elected Atlanta's first black mayor in 1973, died Monday of an apparent heart attack. Current Atlanta Mayor Shirley Franklin says Jackson always stood on principle and was a champion of the inclusion of all people and lived his life that way.
Nothing could have possibly prepared us for the tragedy of September 11th. But support of United Way over the years and generous donations to the September 11th Fund have made immediate disaster relief possible in New York and Washington. Thank you. Now there's work to be done in your community, as the effects of the tragedy continue to impact the entire country. Local United Way initiatives are already underway, promoting tolerance and nonviolence, helping children cope with their fears, and providing support to the families of victims. You can help rebuild lives, one community at a time. Please support your local United Way. Your community is counting on you now more than ever. To find out how you can help, contact your local United Way or visit www.unitedway.org.
Harvard researchers have found that a power nap is quality sleeping, meaning it includes what is known as REM, or rapid eye movement, associated with deep sleep and dreaming. Their study, published in the journal Nature Neuroscience, looked at performance levels of nappers compared to those who did not get the little break during the day. As expected, the people who did not get to nap performed poorer in the late afternoon. That's in comparison to their earlier performances, while those who did get some shut-eye during the day did not suffer at all.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
There was a rush to sell on Wall Street Monday as investors worried about corporate earnings and cashed in on profits reaped from a brisk spring rally. Among blue chips, Boeing and General Motors were among the bigger losers, with the share of both companies losing nearly 3%. Wall Street's expecting the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates this week. The only disagreement seems to be by how much. Economists agree Fed policymakers will announce their lowering rates again when they emerge from 2 days of meetings Wednesday. The widely anticipated cut would be the 13th time since January 2001 the Fed has lowered rates, with the Fed's bellwether federal funds rate now down to 1.25%, the lowest level in 42 years. The only question among Fed watchers is if the Fed will lower rates by a quarter or by a half percentage point. U.S. government selling substantially less timber from trees grown on federal lands. Study by the General Accounting Office finds total lumber sales have dropped 74% over the past 12 years to 26 million board feet. This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Bubert.
We'll be right back.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Right before the break, Robert in L.A. had a question about, I guess, my take on the Gray Davis recall effort. It doesn't surprise me at all. California is a huge prize in terms of electoral votes, in terms of congressional delegates, whether it's, there's only two Senate senators, but their congressional delegate, their House of Representatives delegation must be, what, 30, 40? Who knows? So it's a huge prize. Republicans cannot win in the marketplace of ideas, so they do filthy, dirty tricks. They lie, they cheat, they steal. All Republicans, every single Republican in America does it. Whether they are office holders or people who claim to be Republican or people who vote Republican. They are liars, cheats, sneaks, and thieves. That's how you know them. You know them by what they do. So the fact that the Republican Party in California, through the operations of some of these Republican hit squads, have decided, and I guess they have gotten close to enough votes now to get it on the ballot to recall Gray Davis, this is just typical Republican filth. Now, the average Californian, since we do not have an independent media in this country anymore, I know, writers at the Chronicle, writers at the L.A. Times have tried to explain to us dumb Americans, and especially that contingent of us dumb Americans who live in California, exactly why the state of California is $30 billion in debt. But the contingent of stupid Americans who live in California don't want to understand the fact. They don't want to know.
Yeah, it must be Gray Davis. Let's get that sumbitch out of office. That's what it is.
They don't understand how deeply and egregiously Ken Lay and Enron and Dick Cheney and Karl Rove and George Bush wounded, injured, and destroyed California electric ratepayers specifically and deliberately. Well, first of all, to gouge them, cheat, steal, lie, and make money, but secondly, to cast Gray Davis and the Democratic Party in such a bad light. You see, normally, it doesn't matter whether a chief executive is responsible for results or not, he or she gets the blame or the credit. Unless it's Republican, you see? Where it concerns blame, where it concerns credit, Republicans are filthy, lying sneaks. They say, well, you know, the 9 or 8 years of prosperity in this country had nothing to do with Clinton. It was Pappy Bush that started it. You know, and the 3 years of near depression in this country has nothing to do with George. Bill Clinton started it. You see, they are liars. They are thieves, sneaks, punks, rats, filthy snakes. What else can I say? Have I left anything out? And I don't like them. But they cannot win. They cannot be honest. They can't stand up and say, hi, I'm George Bush, and if I'm elected president, I'm going to come up with all kinds of slogans, but I'm going to destroy the country. I'm going to make it impossible for kids to get an education. I'm going to make it impossible for old people to get medical care. I'm going to make it impossible for working people to get medical care. I'm going to increase the size and scope of the government. I'm going to destroy the economy. I'm going to write tax breaks for all my contributors and best friends and top 10% of money owners in this country. No, 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 no. He says, I'm a compassionate conservative. Now, since we are an abysmally stupid collection of human beings, somehow we have come together on this continent, in this nation, we are dumber than dirt. And we sit back and we watch this. I mean, compassionate conservative. And then we see what he does. And we support him 2-1. Right? So where it concerns Gray Davis, Robert, very simply, Republicans are thugs. They give the mafia a bad name. They give the Catholic Church a bad name. You know, these are real, evil, nasty, vile human beings. Since they cannot compete in the marketplace of political, social, or economic ideas, they lie, they hide, they obfuscate, and they do things like this.
Well, let's just get Gray Davis, and I'll focus everybody on Gray Davis, and then they'll stop focusing on Dick Cheney and Enron and Duke Power and all the companies that came here to California and committed mass rape.
They'll be focused on Gray Davis in our recall action. Why? Because they're stupid. That's why. And easily manipulable. And we know that. Lee Atwater taught us that. Karl Rove has taught us that. Dick Cheney has taught us that. Donald Rumsfeld has taught us that. Americans are very easy to manipulate. And if you repeat the lie enough times, these stupid morons come to believe that it's truth. So, Robert, I hope that answers it for you. Probably not, but that's the long answer. What can I say? Iran. This is one of the few times when the Bush thugs have been right. They said that there are Al-Qaeda in Iran. There are. They're in prison. They're being held by the Iranians. See, the Bush crime family leaves that out. Well, there's Al-Qaeda in Iran, and they're building weapons of mass destruction, and we have to go kill them too and bomb them and to liberate the Iranian people. And they have Al-Qaeda. Yes, they do have Al-Qaeda, George, and they're in prison. They're in prison because the Iranians don't like them. And one of the reasons they're in Iran is because of the attack on Afghanistan. You know, when you fumigate a house, ask Tom DeLay, George, he'll explain this to you. The rats and the cockroaches and the silverfish and the vermin scatter. Go to the house next door, right? So Iran winds up with more than its fair share of Al-Qaeda. The Bush crime family said, oh, say, there's Al-Qaeda there. Time to nuke them. The U.S. government has accused Iran of harboring senior Al-Qaeda figures. The Iranians deny the charge, saying its policy is to arrest and deport members of Al-Qaeda. Iran will deport, according to an Iranian government spokesman, Iran will deport the alleged members of the terror group if it determines they're from friendly countries. I don't know what that means. While those accused of crimes in Iran will be prosecuted. Now, earlier this year, Iran said it had extradited more than 500 al-Qaeda members to their countries of origin, including Arab, European, and African countries. So, yes, there are al-Qaeda in Iran. And they're in the process of being deported and jailed and imprisoned. What else we got here? U.S. troops may be in Iraq for 10 years. Did you see this? This reported in USA Today. The USA Today?
Two top U.S. defense officials signaled Congress last week the U.S. forces might remain in Iraq for as long as a decade, and that permanent facilities need to be built to house them there.
Of course, you and I are not surprised by that. That's what this is about. This is about projecting American imperialism all over Central Asia. Well, you don't want to do it from Diego Garcia, and you don't want to do it from Oman or what's that other place, that little country where we have our Qatar. And the Germans have pissed us off now, so we're not going to do the Turks won't even talk to us. So it looks like we're going to have permanent bases in Iraq and then permanent bases in Iran, permanent bases in Afghanistan, permanent bases in Tajikistan, permanent bases in Uzbekistan, permanent bases in Pakistan. You see how this works? Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz, who is truly psychotic, and Peter Pace, a Marine general, who is a disgrace to his uniform, gave no explicit estimates for the time U.S. forces would stay in Iraq, but they did not dispute members of Congress who said the deployment would last a decade or more. Oh, and by the way, Wolfowitz told the House Armed Services Committee, run by Republican killers and thugs, that the Bush administration will eventually come to Congress for more money for the military occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan. They will probably need an annual budget in addition to $500 billion they already get. They're going to need probably another $54 billion per year. Breaks down $1.5 billion a month for Afghanistan and $3 billion a month for Iraq. Well, damn it. It's expensive being an imperial power. Dig up an ancient Roman and ask him, or an ancient Greek, or an ancient Mongol, or who else could we dig up? Being an imperial power, ask the Brits, ask the Dutch, ask the Spanish, ask the French, and for God's sake, ask the Portuguese. These were all imperial powers. They will tell you.
Well, you know, you reach a point, man, where the law of diminishing returns kind of kicks in, and you're not getting as much gold and jewelry and tobacco and slaves and stuff to back from the country you've taken over in order to justify the occupation. And you know, the money kind of, it becomes an outflow instead of an inflow. And at that point, you know, you become an ex-imperial power. Of course, we all did this before oil, so we don't, you know, we don't know.
54 billion extra dollars a year. That's what Wolfowitz is going to go to Congress and ask for. We need a little more money. Running out of bullets and stuff. In the meantime, an Iraqi shepherd is seeking $200 million in damages for the U.S. military for the deaths of 17 members of his family and 200 sheep in a missile strike. The first hearing on this case will take place on July 20th at the tribunal in Ramadi, 100 kilometers west of Baghdad, a tribunal run by the occupiers, the United States.
Hi, I'm an Iraqi shepherd. And listen, you all killed 17 members of my family and 200 of my sheep. I want some money. I want $200 million.
Yeah, okay. He has been told to say it clear, to say it cool. It's over. It ain't going any further. And now the wheels of heaven stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It is murder. Angles are gone, slide. Slide in all directions.
want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Boy, we're really teaching those high-flying, finagling CEOs a lesson in corporate ethics, aren't we? The latest to have to take their medicine are six former top execs at Xerox Corporation. They were recently found by the SEC to have cooked the company books and illegally inflated profits by $1.4 billion over 4 years. These actions fraudulently misled investors and allowed the executives themselves to pocket millions in personal pay that they were not due. But pow! The SEC regulators have now socked the slippery-fingered six with $22 million in penalties. That'll teach them, right? Well, not exactly. It seems that under the sweetheart bylaws of the corporation, $19 million of this legal assessment will be picked up not by the executives, but by Xerox and its insurance companies. Plus, Xerox will pay the legal fees for the six. So it's you shareholders of Xerox and you ratepayers of the insurers who will pick up the bulk of the tab for these dirty-dealing executives, and ultimately, we taxpayers will be hit for it, since Xerox can deduct a chunk of this payout from its corporate income tax, claiming it as a cost of doing business. So what are the lessons here for other CEOs and for our children? Crime pays. Paul Allaire, for example, was the Xerox CEO who presided over this shameful ripoff, and he has to pay $1 million fine out of his own pocket. That sounds like a serious bit of punishment until you do the math. The SEC found that he had put $5.7 million worth of fraudulent gain in that pocket during the four-year scam. So his haul is a nice net of $4.7 million. The lawyer for Allaire and another Xerox executive said that the two chieftains had settled so they could, quote, put this issue behind them and get on with their lives. This is Jim Hightower saying, in the world of corporate crime, instead of being sentenced to a hard jail bed, you get a golden pillow. So much for reforming corporate ethics.
Here's The Cure, Mike Malloy.
Yeah, right. Say it with love. Here's some love. You want to put some love on more than 13,000 Arab and Muslim men in the United States. Those are the good, loving Arab and Muslim men who lined up to cooperate with Ashcroft. Do you remember that? They were asked to register with post 11 September anti-terror measures. Remember that? More than 13,000 of them are now facing deportation after cooperating. They're among 82,000 adult males who obeyed a government demand to register with the Immigration Service earlier this year on the grounds that they came from mainly Muslim countries, that the Bush thugs say harbor terrorist groups. Huh? I wonder if the Irish are going to have to line up because Northern Ireland harbors terrorists. I wonder if Colombians are going to have to line up. Colombia, I wonder if Canadians, isn't there a French separatist group that you could identify as being a terrorist, or have they given up? But no, Muslims and Arab men in this country, 82,000 of them. Only 11 of those 82,000, 11, 11, have been found to have links with terrorism. 11. But the other 13,000 are going to be thrown on their asses anyway because, well, maybe they didn't renew their visitor's visa or student visa. Why didn't they do that, Mike? Well, if you've ever dealt with INS, as I have, you know that it makes IRS look like a liberal, fun-loving company picnic. INS is filled with demons from the deepest pits of hell. And if you want to have an interview, if you want to get your case adjudicated, well, okay, maybe within 6 months. In the meantime, we're going to send you to prison in Lafayette, Louisiana. Only 11 of the 82,000 who registered, and of the tens of thousands more screened at airports and border crossings, only 11 were found to have, quote, terrorist, close quote, links. By cooperating fully with this demand to register, these people whose immigration status may have changed, maybe they married somebody, maybe the visa ran out, maybe the student thing, whatever, they had hoped to be treated leniently. Here's your leniency. The Immigration Service now says enforcement is a top priority. What, you didn't renew it on time? Because we would make an appointment for you. You're out of here. Get your ass out of here. Go on back to whatever Arab hellhole you came from. Go. I am the INS. I will tell you what you will do. And you will do it. You think the FBI, you think the CIA, you think the Bush crime family are tough? Try me. I am the INS. Correspondents to the BBC News say families and immigrant communities in the United States have already started packing up to leave the country while others are simply going to go underground. Now, when you go underground, and for you Republicans listening, that doesn't mean you dig a hole and go underground. It's a figure of speech, you morons. But when someone goes underground, then they become much more susceptible to the underground economy and perhaps other people they meet in the underground who also may harbor a pissy attitude about how they're being treated by the United States authorities simply because they did what the U.S. authorities told them to do. What do you get then? Oh, that's right. You do, don't you?
Are there any queers in the theater tonight? Get them up against the wall. There's one in the spotlight. He don't look right to me. Get him up against the wall.
We will apply the immigration laws. We're saying welcome to America. Why don't you share information with us?
What's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
poverty, not affluence, is the environment's worst enemy, according to a new book. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Industrialized nations, led by the United States, consume far more resources and create more pollution than developing countries do. Critics often point to this big ecological footprint when assigning blame for the world's environmental problems. But a new book argues that our affluent lifestyle is not the culprit, poverty is. Jack Hollander is the author of The Real Environmental Crisis.
Affluence, in fact, is a friend of the environment and a prerequisite for environmental quality, and I point my finger at poverty as the enemy of the environment. It's kind of the opposite from the thought that the industrial society is the enemy.
Hollander says he's not blaming poor people. He says they're the victims of the worst combination of circumstances, and they lack the power to solve environmental problems. He says industrial nations have to take the lead, and Hollander says they're doing a pretty good job.
All indicators are that the environment is getting better, not worse. Our air is better than it has been in decades. Our water is better. Our food supply is cleaner and safer. Our forests have recovered. Our industry is becoming more and more efficient. Resources are becoming ever cheaper. That's not to say that the present state of our environment is good enough. Of course, it's not. But the point is, the richer we get, the better environment will demand.
Hollander says that's the key, ensuring that everyone has a high enough standard of living to be able to make environmental quality a priority. He says wealthy countries can help others rise from poverty through a combination of foreign aid, trade, and democratic reform. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if
you
don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We're at 800-TALK-YES. Susan is calling from Moody, Alabama. Susan, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. I wanted to guess, our civil liberties are being destroyed by the Republican Party, the Bush administration. Our environmental policies, controls are being reversed because of the Bush administration. Now, I have a real concern. You were talking earlier about voting and the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe that with the size of the Internet organizations that we have, that we're not going to have a Gephardt or a Lieberman shoved down our throats. I truly believe that there's going to be a Dennis Kucinich, and we may have to go Howard Dean. But, Mike, don't you think that it's more important? I get friends online that say they're just not going to vote, not going to vote, not going to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is extremely important. We may have to hold our noses and vote.
Well, I happen to agree with that idea, but there are a lot of people who do not, and I can't disrespect them. If I'm willing to compromise in order to get Bush out of office by voting for a person who's less than a true Democrat, if I'm willing to make that compromise, that's a decision I've made, and whatever ethical or moral implications that come with that, it's strictly on my back. But I cannot advocate somebody else to do the same thing. There are people who truly feel, as I do, that the Democratic Party is not the Democratic Party any longer, and this is where we kind of separate. Those people feel that they will not support a handpicked DLC Democrat like a Gephardt, like a Lieberman, even like a Kerry or like an Edwards. They just won't do it. And I do not presume to say to those people, look, do you realize what you're doing? You're going to guarantee us another 4 years of Bush. I can't do that. I'm hoping that people will make the correct decision.
And what do you think is the correct decision?
If you can't vote your conscience in this country, if you can't work for democracy and freedom, what have we got? Now, I fault the candidates. These people who say they're Democrats and who vote like Republicans, like Daschle, now he's not a candidate, but like Daschle, like Kerry, like the rest of these people, damn them for lying to the American public. They are not Democrats. They are Democratic Leadership Conference. They are DLC Democrats, but they are not Democrats in the sense that most of us who remember and still respect and still follow the FDR Democrats, they're not like this. They are Republican light. So if the candidates are willing to be dishonest about what they're about, then it's my decision whether or not I should support the dishonesty.
Well, I agree. I still just have to believe that it's more important at this point to get
right,
George Bush
right,
out of the White House.
Right. Now, having said that, let me step down off my moral high horse and say that with a couple of exceptions, if Lieberman gets a nomination, I shall not vote for him. Period. End of story. I will pick a third candidate. But I'm real close to feeling that way on Gephardt. But if a Democrat who may not have all the credentials or all the purity that I want does get the nomination, well, of course I'm going to vote for him. If it's not Dean, if it's not Kucinich, and I'm faced with this thug, this punk in the White House, I will vote against George Bush by voting for that candidate. Unless, and even I cannot go that low. I cannot and shall not vote for Lieberman.
That part I understand.
Right.
I don't think we're going to have to go that low.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Susan. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, I appreciate your call. It's a tough question, and each individual has to answer it on their own. I mean, come on, that's just the way it goes. If we have four more years of Bush, and a bunch of Democrats or progressives or liberals want to stand around after Bush gets another 4 years and point fingers at each other, Jared Fong, you know, damn all you people, just damn you for doing that. Get busy. Somebody said, well, what are we supposed to do? You're supposed to get off your ass and organize. If you don't like the candidates, then find somebody else and back him or her. If you want Kucinich, open up your pocketbook. And if it hurts to contribute $100, tough. You want your country back? It's going to hurt. Nobody's asking you to pick up a rifle and go shoot somebody. You want to get rid of these fake Democrats? Don't ask me. Don't come to this program and say, "Well, what am I supposed to do, Mike?" You know what you're supposed to do. Susan, I'm not referring to you. I got a couple of. I get emails like this all the time. Well, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Oh, come on. You figure it out. And if you can't figure it out, then get the hell out of the system. Just go away. Let people who can figure it out decide what to do with their resources and their energy and their time. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of the infighting with Democrats and Greens and all this whining and bitching. You know, do what you think is right. Just leave me out of the discussion, okay? I'm not interested. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to vote for a Democrat, a real Democrat. And if my real Democratic vote doesn't count in the primaries, then I'm going to vote for a fake Democrat, up to a point, in order to get this son of a bitch out of the White House. That's what I'm going to do. Now, if your purity transcends my political real politic, well, fine. Bless you for your purity. I'm not that pure. There goes the blood pressure again. All right, Howard Dean, we're going to do these first, Kathy. I said we'd do Bush first. We'll let too stupid to be president wait. We're going to do Howard Dean announcing his candidacy today in Burlington, Vermont. Now, I want you to hear some of this. We'll talk about it in a second.
Today, I announce that I'm running for the presidency of the United States of America. I speak not only for my candidacy, I speak for a new American century and a new generation of Americans, both young people and young at heart. We seek the great restoration of American values and the restoration of our nation's traditional purpose in this world.
Okay, so far so good. He goes on how the Bush bastard has put the nation in crisis.
Our nation is in crisis. At home, the crisis manifests itself in the president's destruction of the idea of community. The president pushes forward an agenda and policies which divide us. He advocates economic policies which beggar the middle class and raise property taxes so that income taxes may be cut for those who ran Enron. He divides us by race by using the word quota, which appeals to the worst in us by instilling the fear that people of color might take our jobs or places in the university's best, in the nation's best universities. Even the most conservative Supreme Court, since the Dred Scott decision, did not completely agree with this president's attack on diversity and the community values that we hold so dear that include every single American.
That reference, of course, is what the Supreme Court ruled regarding the Michigan case, University of Michigan case, that race could be considered. They accepted that idea 5-4, but struck down 6-3, the specific plan that the University of Michigan was using, both sides claiming a victory. All right, back to Howard Dean. How too stupid to be president's foreign policy and unilateralism threatens all of us.
Since the time of Thomas Paine and John Adams, our founders have implored that we are not to be the new Rome. We are not to conquer and suppress other nations to submit to our will. We are to inspire them. The idea of America using its power solely for its own ends is not consistent with the idealistic moral force that this world has known for over two centuries. We must rejoin the world community.
On George W. Bush's backward doctrine of preemptive war, it's not just a backward doctrine, it's a doctrine of murder, chaos, mayhem, and retribution.
Every American president must and will take up arms in the defense of our nation. It is a solemn oath that cannot and that will not be compromised. But there is a fundamental difference between the defense of our nation and the doctrine of preemptive war espoused by this administration.
Yeah. Isn't there? Now, on Bush's disdain, contempt, the way he unzips his fly and pees on treaties, on agreements, on international documents, our allies, and America's role in the world as the only real superpower, Dean said this.
This administration has shown disdain for allies, treaties, and international organizations alike, and in doing so, they would throw aside our nation's role as the inspirational leader of the world, the beacon of hope and justice in the interests of humankind. They would present our face to the world as a dominant power, prepared to push aside any nation with which we disagree. Our foreign and military policies must be about America leading the world, not America against the world.
Now, I don't know if I'm putting too fine a point on it, but let's pick it up right there. Our foreign and military policies must be about America leading the world, not America against the world. He's referring to military policy. An interesting exchange occurred at Sunday's Rainbow Push Coalition Candidates Forum. Kucinich was talking about the so-called digital divide that separates minorities and the poor from middle-class whites in computer access. And according to Democrats.com, Kucinich received warm applause when he declared, quote, "As long as we're spending so much money for the Pentagon and so little money for education, we're going to have all kinds of divides in this country. The only way we're going to really get close to the divide in this country is to start cutting the Pentagon budget and put that money into education." Now, Howard Dean spoke next, and he said, quote, "I don't agree with Dennis about cutting the Pentagon budget. when we're in the middle of a difficulty with terror attacks, end quote. Now, that's a stark contrast on one of the biggest questions facing Democrats. Dean describes himself as a fiscal conservative, adamant about balanced budgets. But if the Pentagon budget is untouchable, which seems to be what Dean is saying, are we being candid with voters about delivering an enhanced domestic agenda that Democrats can be proud of? That's a question for Dean supporters to consider. Democratic candidates are promising increased spending in what? Healthcare, education, the environment? If the Pentagon cuts are off limits, which seems to be what Governor Dean is saying, how are we going to do it? Now, Kucinich has proposed cuts in the military budget central to his campaign. That's what he says is the heart and soul of his campaign. He's repeatedly pointed out that Pentagon spending will soon rival the military budgets of all other countries in the world combined. We already spend more than the top 10 combined. Kucinich also says that unneeded Cold War-era weapons are still being produced. Star Wars missile defense is a boondoggle, and the Pentagon has $1 trillion in unreconcilable accounts. In other words, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be even bright to understand what the Pentagon budget has done to this country. We know. So what Kucinich is saying is we need to fundamentally shift our priorities towards civilian needs like health care and schools and cities and retirement security and environmental cleanup. Now, I'm presenting this as a contrast to what Howard Dean said. When we get sound bites like this on Dennis Kucinich, we will present a contrast from Howard Dean. Frankly, at this point in time, I'm sorry, I don't give a tinker's damn about the other candidates. I don't care. I just don't care. For you Kerry supporters, I apologize because I am not touting your candidate. When your candidate makes some pertinent statements, we'll play them. But I frankly don't give a damn about Kerry or Edwards or Gephardt or Lieberman or Sharpton or Carol Moseley Braun. I don't care. I don't care about them. There's only two in here that I care that much about, and it's Kucinich and to a lesser degree Dean. This is I don't do balanced talk radio. You know that. So you know what you get when you come to this program. Ben Cohen, the guy that founded, one of the founders of Ben and Jerry's, has backed Kucinich. He says, how we spend our money as a nation reflects our values and beliefs. Look at your personal checkbook and it tells you what's important to you. Our nation's checkbook tells us that our priorities are all wrong, and Kucinich is the one candidate bold enough to say so. Ben says, he calls for funding human needs, such as universal health care, education, environmental cleanup, and expanded programs for the poor, the cities, the elderly. And he does it at no additional taxpayer expense by shaving 15% of the Pentagon budget. 15 stinking, lousy percent pays for all of this. Howard Dean, if you're a Dean supporter, I'm listening to the guy. But when I hear the guy say, "Look, you know, we can't cut into Pentagon spending," what the hell is he talking about? We spend half a trillion dollars, and they want more. Here he is again on why so many Americans feel hopeless and have stopped voting. Howard Dean,
when confronted with the president's ideologues, too many Americans have stopped participating, stopped voting, stopped believing that they can change America. And we in politics have not given people a reason to vote or a reason to participate. We have slavishly spewed sound bites copying each other while saying little. We raise millions of dollars and each year make lofty promises while every year the struggle of ordinary Americans increases and fewer Americans vote. And our politicians, many of them good people, have been paralyzed by their fear of losing office.
Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished.
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of progressive talk radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till
midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Okay, here's the last one from Howard Dean, officially announcing his presidential candidacy in Burlington, Vermont today. And this is the money shot. This is the his rallying cry for 2000. You all know what the money shot is. Okay, this is the rallying cry. I want you to listen to Howard Dean. This is very inspirational. This guy really intrigues me. There's just a couple of things about Dean that I have questions about.
You have the power to rid Washington of the politics of money. You have the power to make right just as important as might. You have the power to give America a reason to vote again. You have the power to restore our nation to fiscal sanity and bring jobs back to our people. You have the power to fulfill Harry Truman's pledge of health care for all American. You have the power to give us foreign policy consistent with American values again. You have the power to take back the Democratic Party. You have the power to take our country back. And you have the power to take the White House back in 2004. And that is exactly what we're going to be doing. You have that power. You have the power. You have the power. You have the power to take this country back. You have the power. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We're going to take our country back. Thank you very much. You have the power. Thank you very much.
Now, you have to admit that you just want to jump up and run out and sign up for Howard Dean. By God, I feel like I want to. That's great. That is great political rhetoric, and I'm not using that in a denigrating or a demeaning way. Political rhetoric is absolutely key to inspiring people to get off their asses, to open up their pocketbooks, to even to go vote. Can you imagine a chump like George Bush saying something like this? Can you imagine some chump on the political right talking like this? Howard Dean obviously is a powerful public speaker. There's a lot to be checked out with him. He sounds like Kucinich. And Kucinich sounds like him. So you're going to have to compare the cadences and the text and subtext and substance of what a Howard Dean or a Dennis Kucinich says to what you hear coming out of the mouth of a Lieberman or John Edwards, or a Dick Gephardt. The contrast is stark. All right, quick break. When we come back, your phone calls about what we've been talking about here for the past few minutes. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
On Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Hubert. The United States is downplaying reports suggesting Saddam Hussein or his sons were killed in a U.S.-led attack on a convoy going from Iraq to Syria. Defense officials confirm the attack was launched because of intelligence indicating the location of regime figures, but they say they're not aware of any DNA testing taking place to try to identify the people who were killed in the incident, as a British newspaper had earlier reported. The University of Michigan's law school's admission policy that takes race into consideration will stay in place. The U.S. Supreme Court upheld the policy in one of two rulings Monday on affirmative action at the Ann Arbor School. While the justices upheld the law school's policy, they struck down the university's affirmative action policy on undergraduate admissions. Free speech advocates are not happy with the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overrule a special three-judge federal court panel in Philadelphia. That panel had ruled earlier that libraries violate the First Amendment whenever they use filters to block out pornographic websites. It's an uphill battle for firefighters battling a monster blaze in the Santa Catalina Mountains near Tucson, Arizona. The nearly week-old Aspen Fire has consumed more than 12,000 acres and remains at 5% containment. Mother Nature has been hampering efforts to get that wildfire under control as temperatures remain high, humidity low, and the winds are strong. Cause of the blaze that has damaged or destroyed more than 250 homes is still not known. Two American college students who were the subject of a massive search in the mountainous forests of Puerto Rico are dead. The bodies of Colin Mike Ewers of Bloomington, Minnesota, and Christopher Kit Riley of Miami, Florida, were found Monday, not far from where they were last seen. The two men had gone hiking with a third person, but got separated and never came out of the forest. The woman was able to make her way out and call for help. Searchers believe the two men went swimming and were washed downriver. Prime Minister of India has started a week-long visit to China, declaring his country's mutual suspicion with Beijing was dead. The leaders have signed a series of agreements.
Nothing could have possibly prepared us for the tragedy of September 11th. But support of United Way over the years and generous donations to the September 11th Fund have made immediate disaster relief possible in New York and Washington. Thank you. Now there's work to be done in your community as the effects of the tragedy continue to impact the entire country. Local United Way initiatives are already underway, promoting tolerance and nonviolence, helping children cope with their fears, and providing support to the families of victims. You can help rebuild lives, one community at a time. Please support your local United Way. Your community is counting on you now more than ever. To find out how you can help, contact your local United Way or visit www.unitedway.org.
It's being hailed as a landmark discovery that could change the direction of treating alcoholism. Researchers at the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio have found a drug used to help control seizures can dramatically improve abstinence from drinking. In a study of 150 patients, those who took the medication were 6 times more likely than those who received placebo to abstain from alcohol for at least 1 month during the 3-month trial. The discovery was reported at a meeting of the Research Society on Alcoholism in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Wall Street was down. Investors worried about corporate earnings cashed in on profits reaped from a brisk spring rally as well. Among the blue chips, Boeing and General Motors were among the bigger losers, with the share of both companies losing nearly 3%. Wall Street's expecting the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates this week. The only disagreement seems to be by how much.
Economists agree Fed policymakers will announce their lowering rates again when they emerge from 2 days of meetings Wednesday. The widely anticipated cut would be the 13th time since January 2001 the Fed has lowered rates. With the Fed's bellwether federal funds rate now down to 1.25%, the lowest level in 42 years, the only question among Fed watchers is if the Fed will lower rates by a quarter or half percentage point. A judge has approved ABB Limited's $1.2 billion settlement of asbestos claims, clearing the way for the company to make a financial turnaround. The approved settlement involves ABB's Combustion Engineering Division. This is IE America, Radio Network News. I'm Tom Bubert.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop. Does your car sound like the Clydesdales in Fast Forward? The problem could be unhealthy joints. No, not the horses, your cars. When we come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. That clacking could be a sign of old age in your car's CV or constant velocity joints. These flexible joints allow drive shafts and axles to steer cars smoothly. But if they don't function properly, axles could freeze up or even fall off. How do you recognize faulty CV joints? Popping and clicking when turning and clunking when accelerating are classic signs. And if you can create these noises by putting your car in reverse and backing in a circle, your CV joints are really aching. So communicate these symptoms to your technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. It's about 7:30 past the hour. Don't forget the MoveOn.org primary online vote is tomorrow. Did we post an announcement of that at our website, Kathy? Didn't we make that it is out there. Okay. All right, we have some calls that are backed up now, and you all have been very patient. We shall get to some of the phone calls now. Coming up a little bit later in the program, I want you to hear Bush talking to really smart people today. We got about three sound bites that... are just outrageous. If it weren't for the fact that we have so many people on hold, we would have played them back-to-back with Howard Dean. The contrast with Bush and anyone with an IQ over room temperature is stunning, you know, especially when you hear Person A and George Bush talking one after the other. It's astonishing to me how grossly, almost genetically... disfigured George Bush's ability to think truly is. It's incredible. Just incredible. All right. First in the box here, our webmaster, Mark Marshall, is calling from upstate New York, just outside of, why do I say upstate New York? You're not that far from the city, are you?
Well, people in the city think I am.
Oh, hey. What, 12 miles outside of the city and you're upstate New York?
15 miles, something like that. That's upstate New York. That scares people in the city, you know how that goes.
Yeah, I hear that.
The money shot, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you're on a roll tonight.
you know what the money shot
absolutely
is.
Absolutely. I know exactly what the, it's just why I was laughing so hard when you said that.
Well, it was an inspiring moment.
Absolutely.
Had there been a camera there, had Howard Dean's announcement been a movie, had there been a movie camera there, that would have been the money shot.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha. Actually, what I called about was I've been involved in a whole bunch of conversations of the sort that you were talking about before,
mm-hmm.
about that dilemma between, you know, voting your conscience and voting out of fear.
Right.
And, it occurred to me that something that a lot of people aren't considering about this is the fact that, you know, there's a third way to go here, and that is if you end up saying, you know, I really don't want to hold my nose, but I don't have a choice because I want to get this guy out of office. You know, the other thing is you can hold somebody's feet to the fire after the fact. That's something that we're really bad at in this country. Is once somebody gets into office, say, okay, fine, now you're there, now you got to, you know, now you really have to perform.
You're talking about a Democrat.
Yeah.
And even if it's a dino, Democrat
exactly.
in name only.
Exactly.
Well,
my point is these people make promises, you know, so people go, okay, I'm going to do my duty, I'm going to go out to the polls. That's not doing your duty. That's like 1/20th of it. You know, that's why I think that's probably why they don't teach civics in this country anymore, because then people would actually be involved.
That's a good point. I don't know how responsive, though, candidates who become actual presidents really are. I think about, for example, the best Republican president we've had this, of the 20th century and so far in the 21st century, that would have been Bill Clinton.
Yep.
And whether or not he was responsive to his natural constituency once he became president. And my answer, quick answer, is no, he wasn't responsive. Let's keep in mind that the jail population in this country increased under Bill Clinton at a greater rate and a greater number than in the history of this republic. The death penalty was expanded on Clinton's watch to include 50, 60, 70 new federal cases. Welfare in this country was totally dismantled.
Sure, I mean
NAFTA. I mean, we can go on and on.
No,
so,
I totally agree with you. But my point is, and I think this sort of addresses what you're saying, is I don't think anybody really insisted on it. I think that the apathy that's been displayed in the lack of people voting is also displayed in there. Look, just go down to your local town hall and see how many people actually go there for the town hall meetings.
So
they don't. They want to stay home and watch TV and expect that people are going to do what they want them to do, and that's not how it works.
So you're suggesting that follow-up pressure on a Democrat, it doesn't work on Republicans because Republicans are just robots, but follow-up pressure by Democrats in all their diverse makeups and so on and so forth, that would work, you think, with a candidate who becomes president?
Well, I think it's more of an effort. I mean, look, you know, the bottom line is you get what you pay for, and if all you're paying is the half hour that you take off of work, you know, to go down to the voting booth and vote,
right,
and then expect that you can go right back to what you're doing and stop paying attention, well, you're going to get what you pay for.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. All right, so you think you found a solution.
Well, I mean, I think look, in the end, I'd really like to see Kucinich in office. Everything he's said since way before he was running, I just love him. I love what he stands for. I love his moral sense. I'd love to see him in. But the truth of the matter is I know that there's not a huge shot at that. And if I have to end up holding my nose and going for somebody less, well, the next best thing I can do is not let them off.
There is a limit, though.
Absolutely.
Some of these guys, I don't think a Dick Gephardt or Joe Lieberman or a John Kerry would respond to the kind of pressure once in office that you're suggesting. I just don't believe that. I don't know what I base that belief on, but maybe it's...
I don't think they would either, but honestly, I think that particularly in the case of Lieberman, I think there's enough of an awareness in a lot of the Democratic Party. Aside from the semi-Republicans, there's enough awareness there of the fact that he's pretty much a Republican for all intents and purposes that there might actually be a backlash and an independent candidate might have a better shot at it.
Yeah, just you might. Know? All right, good point. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. And the other thing, and this is the Jesse Jackson factor that applies on Lieberman. This country will not vote an American of African descent into office, nor an American whose religion is Jewish. You know that. I know it. We might as well just state it up front. It's not going to happen. Not in my lifetime, not in your lifetime, not in your children's lifetimes. It's not going to happen. As far as a female is concerned, that's certainly highly debatable. If women voted as a bloc, we would have had a female president starting around 1924. But females don't vote as a bloc any more than whites or blacks or men or the, you know, first-time voters vote in a bloc. But we live in America, 2003. We are eat up with bigotry, prejudice, suspicion of the other. We are anti-Semitic. We are anti-Arab. We are anti-this. We are anti-that. And you know as well as I do, and the Democratic Party understands this. This is a part that's very intriguing to me. Democratic Party knows that if Lieberman is heading the ticket, they have totally and completely and forever lost the White South. Gone. Must be hell on Terry McAuliffe these days, wouldn't you think? Patrick is calling from Owensboro, Kentucky. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Kentucky Kucinich headquarters.
All right.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Doing fine.
I got something to say, and then I got a question at the end.
Okay.
I will not and could not vote for Howard Dean. The reason is because of the statements he has said. He is very deceptive. I think that what he is saying, if he was coming out at the time that Clinton was coming out, you know what I'm saying.
So given a choice of Howard Dean on the Democratic ticket and George Bush on the Republican, you're just going to leave town.
I would vote for Gray Davis before I would vote for any of these other people.
Okay, but again, you know, I'll tell you here now, given a choice of George Bush and Howard Dean, obviously I'm going to vote for Howard Dean. That's not the candidate that I'd like to see ultimately in the White House, but it's a hell of a lot better. He is a hell of a lot better than George W. Bush. So I'm just asking you a question, and I will be asking people this question as we work our way towards primaries. If you're given a choice between Howard Dean and George Bush, what are you going to do?
I'm not going to vote.
You're not going to vote. Okay.
I mean, I'm going to vote independent if
okay.
I have to.
Okay.
But the thing is, let me tell you one more thing. The thing is, the reason why I won't vote for Howard Dean is because he's a two-headed monster. He comes out, he's for GATT, NAFTA, and then has a poor environmental record in Vermont. And he came out and said it last night in the Rainbow Coalition debate. I mean, that said it right there, just like you said earlier, that he will not cut the Pentagon budget.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that says a lot right there. That says it all. And I he's a mechanical beast. I don't like him. I never did like him. I don't know. This is the question. Why are so many people mesmerized by this guy?
Well, I think I have an answer.
He comes out and
all right, wait. Hold on. I think I have an answer for you. The reason is he's a very powerful public speaker. We are Americans. You have to remember, Patrick, we are Americans. We are stupid people. We do not look at a person's voting record. We do not look behind the rhetoric. We look at the 30-second commercial. I don't care if it's Dennis Kucinich or Joe Lieberman or George Bush or Bill Clinton. We look at the 30-second commercial, the one-minute commercial, and most of us, that's 50% plus one of us, make our decisions, our political decisions, based on a political ad. So Howard Dean is inspirational to an awful lot of people right now because, first of all, he has a message, you heard the sound bites, that resonates. For people who don't look at the entire picture like you have, like real political junkies do, you know, a person might be fooled. But he is saying things that Americans are dying to hear right now, literally dying to hear. So that's the attraction with Howard Dean. And frankly, it is the same attraction right now with Dennis Kucinich. Because both these men are powerful, kick-ass, get-the-adrenaline-pumping speakers. And that's what people are tuning into.
Well, I think with Howard Dean, if Clinton had came out this early, I think people would figure it out. And I think they're going to figure it out with Howard Dean soon enough. Because they're allowing people enough time to figure it out. They'll figure it out.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Patrick. Got a boogie here. I appreciate you checking in. Keep the discussion going. I don't want people to call in and go, well, you know, this is nonsense. Your last caller or your third to the last caller or the next caller, whatever. You know, what's up with these people supporting Dean? What's up with these people supporting Kucinich? What's up with these people supporting Edwards and so on and so forth? Voice your opinion, you know, if you feel like it. There's enough information out on these candidates that you can take a look. You can see if they are qualified. Again, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to look at the, what is there, nine names here in the Democratic hopper right now? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to look at those names, look at what they've done, and make a quick decision. Well, this person is possibly qualified. This person certainly isn't, you know, to be president. You can check that out. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show. We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to
go on. Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy.
And you hate me?
Ooh,
you
why
hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. 800-TALK, yes, is the number. Dave is calling from Royal Oak, Michigan. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Not too bad. Hey, on the on 6:13:03, at about 34 minutes and 50 seconds into the show, you mentioned as a possible positive to my question, do you think there will be any human beings around in 1,000 years?
Yeah.
Overall, your answer was no, but as one possible positive, one possible solution, you said, unless you see a rise of people who you called avatars, people who speak in a spiritual language that is understood by the common people.
Right.
I'm wondering if you could elaborate on that.
All right, you want me to go back to June 15th at what time, past the hour?
It was Friday the 13th.
Avatars, you know what avatars are. The Buddha was one. Jesus Christ was one. Muhammad was one. Martin Luther King Jr. was one. People who can speak the truth and talk about unity of not just mind, body, and spirit, but unity on the planet, unity of the human race, unity of the organism called humans to our home. And if people will listen, we don't have people now who are speaking or who are preaching. I can't think of a better word, or advocating unity. You have people who are speaking, preaching, advocating, breaking things into chunks and pieces. This is mine. This is yours. We are beset, and I'm not just talking about Americans. We are beset with greed. Those seven deadly sins. I mean, just go down the list. And I don't think you have to subscribe to any fake ass religion to understand the ugliness of the so-called seven deadly sins. By avatars, I mean people who can either in a spiritual context or not, who can, although I don't see how the spiritual context can be ignored. I'm not talking religion. I'm not talking about sky beings. I'm talking about spirituality. And I'm not talking about spirituality that occurs after a human being dies, because I happen to think that when a human being dies, we go back to the void from whence we came, only surprise, surprise, there's not even a reference point to realize we're back in the void. By spirituality, I mean conscious spirituality. We've got, a very short period of time on this planet, some of us less than others. I shouldn't even say on this planet. In this consciousness, some of us less than others. And it should, the spirituality needs to be devised within the consciousness. Why? So that we leave the campsite better than when we arrived. That's the only reason. It's the only reason. We are driven by DNA. We are driven by survival of the fittest, or adaptation, or whatever you want to call it. We are not driven to reach the gates of some jackass, wild-eyed heaven. There are no virgins waiting for us. There are no harp players. There is no lake of fire. There is, there's nothing. It is the void, which is probably damn peaceful when you stop and think about it. All eternity that existed prior to your birth, Dave, it was just nothing. And it was very blissful, wasn't it? You don't remember, do you, being upset in that void? No, of course not.
Don't remember anything from that void.
There you go. So the void to come, I would assume, is the same. Now, maybe not.
Maybe we chose to forget.
Maybe there's a big surprise waiting. But when I talk about spirituality, I'm talking about the spirituality necessary in the conscious now sense.
Yeah.
To realize how astray, I love that word, we have led ourselves. We're lost in the wilderness.
We are a bit astray.
I hate all the biblical references, but they're the ones that stole the language. I'm not stealing back from them. But they're the ones that co-opted the language of religion was not always a language of religion. It was just a language of spirituality. So I hope that confuses you even more.
No, but I got a question to bring it back to the now, since we're not.
All right. Well, let me put you on hold. I'll come back to you as soon as we take a break. I didn't expect that kind of a question out of Dave. Yikes. Stay with us. Quick break. We'll be right back.
To your flag, I fell. My doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
General Motors has announced it will float $13 billion worth of new bonds to shore up its grossly underfunded pension plan. At the end of 2002, GM's pension funds were more than $19 billion in the red, the largest pension deficit of any U.S. company. The bigger picture of corporate America itself is not good either. The 500 companies rated on the Standard & Poor's Stock Index have pension accounts that are collectively underfunded by at least $240 billion.
Hundreds of teachers and public employees took to the streets of downtown Miami last Friday protesting school privatization plans and a standardized testing system they charge as testing Florida's children to death. Joe Cortese, head of the Dade County School Maintenance Employee Committee, says workers' wages and benefits suffer when schools are sold off to the private sector.
Privatization just doesn't work, and that's all there is to it. We've showed them that in no uncertain terms, and we are not going to let them do it down here. We've been fighting them tooth and nail.
Under a state law favored by Florida Governor Jeb Bush, public school students in the Sunshine State are required to pass a standardized test called the FCATs in order to advance from one grade to the next. As a result, more than 12,000 Florida high school seniors who would have otherwise graduated weren't able to pick up their diplomas this year. Most of them were black or Hispanic students. Shirley Johnson, acting president of the United Teachers of Dade County, says elementary school children are being held back too.
We have over close to about 7,000 third graders who may not be going into the fourth grade.
Oh, no.
We have to make sure that no child is left behind.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 800-TALK-YES is the number. We're talking with Dave in Royal Oak, Michigan. Now, you had one more thing here, Dave?
Yeah, on the subject of the avatars, to bring it back to the now, do you think that Dean Kucinich could be one of those people?
Who? Dennis Kucinich?
Howard Dean.
Howard Dean? No, I do not.
Okay.
Do
you recognize any today alive?
From a political... See, I use the term avatar in a non-political sense, although everything's political. I accept that. In the political realm, I would say Dennis Kucinich is probably the only American nationally recognized candidate to lead this country who I would classify possibly as a political avatar. Howard Dean, for all his inspirational talk and for the fact that he does get the adrenaline pumping, he is not a progressive. Now, I'm going to post something on the recent, what do we call it, Kathy, the recent recent program topics page tonight that's put out by, I think, San Francisco Independent Indie Media. And it will provide you with links to statements Howard Dean has made, not statements people have put in his mouth, statements he made in context. And you can read it, and you decide. And I hope a lot of people will go to my site tonight and click on this if you haven't already clicked on it. But Howard Dean is not a progressive. He may be. He is. You might say he is the one chosen by the inside the Beltway crowd to be the designated popular liberal this next election cycle. There is one true Democrat slash liberal slash progressive in this race. And you don't have to agree or vote for him. Look at his record. It is Dennis Kucinich. Now, for people who want a progressive liberal Democrat, or take off the bracketing words, the people who want a liberal, it's Dennis Kucinich. Howard Dean is not a liberal. And that's not my opinion. That's his words. That's Howard Dean describing himself. He doesn't come out and say, I'm not a liberal. But if you look at what he says, what his policies are, what they will be if he's elected president, he is not a liberal. He's not a progressive. Is he a Democrat? Yeah, okay. We have a big tent, remember? We have right-wing Democrats. We have left-wing Democrats. But if you're looking for a liberal, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm saying I'm sorry, because I'm really not. I guess I'm saying sorry because it sounds like I'm slamming the door on disagreement, which I'm not. But if you want a liberal, it's Dennis Kucinich. I mean, study all these nine candidates. Carol Moseley Braun is not a liberal. You know, a lot of people say, well, she's black. She must be a liberal. No, she's not. Lieberman certainly isn't. What's his name from North Carolina? Edwards. He's not. I mean, look at their record. Look at what they've done. Look at how they voted. Look at their qualifications and their capabilities. And you can't just look through the past 2 years. Look at their entire political careers and then decide. And I have done that. I have not looked at Carol Moseley Braun's entire political career, but I lived in Illinois when she was a senator there. And I know it was she was not a good senator. I don't like Al Sharpton because of the Tawana Brawley case. Al Sharpton's the guy to go to if you're of African descent and the white police come down on your ass. Yeah, he's the man to go to. I have great respect in that regard for Al Sharpton. But I cannot get over the Tawana Brawley case. Can't do it. Don't even try anymore. Al Sharpton tried to stir up more crap based on a lie that he knew was a lie. To me, Al Sharpton shares an awful lot with George Bush. They're both liars. And they know they're lying, and they pursue the lie anyway. Now, as far as the rest of the white candidates, I'm sorry. I have no respect, or very little respect, for most of them. I just don't. I don't think they're qualified. If you want a liberal, you're going to go for Kucinich. If you want a true Democrat, you're going to go for Kucinich. If you're willing to compromise, then you go for somebody else. And that's fine. I mean, everybody has to do, you know, voting used to be almost like a sacrament. It was almost like going in, if you're Catholic, to confession. It's almost, if you're Protestant, like the call to Christ to come down in the front of the church and confess your sins. If you're a Jew, it was almost like confessing to your rabbi, oh, God, what have I done? Well, here, blah, 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 blah. You understand what I'm saying? Voting used to be almost very similar, at least in design, in form, as a sacrament. But we've corrupted it. It's become poison. It's ridiculous. It's almost useless. But Dean is the designated liberal by the inside the Washington Beltway crowd, and he is not a liberal. He is what he is, but he is not a liberal. Okay, that's enough from me. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Angelo is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Going fine, sir.
Okay, right on. I have something to say. I actually am working right now, so I'm going to say it and I'm going to leave.
Okay.
I'm going to listen to you. If there is, sorry, I work in a club, by the way, so it's really loud.
Yeah, I noticed.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm going to go in the bathroom. Okay. I'm sorry. If a Democrat is in office, okay. This might be a tinfoil hat, I hear you say that a lot, theory. But
yeah.
If there is one in office, the same guys who let 9/11 pass, who says they won't let it happen twice? So the American public is afraid of Democrats in office and they want Bush back.
Because I don't believe, I believe that Republicans are first cousins to vampires and eaters of the dead. I don't think Democrats, even the most conservative, are with the possible exception of Joe Lieberman, are cousins to vampires and eaters of the dead. As far as I can tell, and I don't think I in my lifetime or my kids or my grandkids will ever know the truth, but as far as I can tell, there was ample warning to the highest levels of the Bush administration to do something to guard against, if not totally prevent, what occurred in this country on 9/11. And they decided to turn their face the other way, hope the damage wasn't too great, but have the Reichstag fire. I don't believe Democrats are that filthy. I don't believe Democrats are that amoral. I don't believe Democrats are that poisonous. So I don't think it would happen during a Democratic administration. Are Democrats in favor of GATT and NAFTA? Sure. Are they in favor of globalization? With the exception of Kucinich. Yeah, of course they are. Are they in favor of big, powerful U.S. militaries? Yeah, with the exception of Kucinich. But when it comes down to what occurred in this country on September 11th, I do not believe, since Democrats are not first cousins to vampires and eaters of the dead, and Republicans are, I don't believe that would have happened. I hope that answers it for you.
It did perfectly. I just wanted to hear what you have to say. I think about, and, you know, I tell my buddies who are, you know, they're all Republicans. They don't know what they're talking about. And they think I'm crazy, but, you know, you kind of see what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying perfectly, and it's a good question. It's a damn good question. I just hope I gave you an adequate answer.
You did, and I appreciate it. I will call back.
All right, thanks, Angelo.
Man.
Have fun tonight, pal. God, I wish I was in a club right now with music in the background, knocking back a couple of Jack Blacks, right? John is calling from East Fallowfield, Pennsylvania. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. I was listening, and I hear a lot of guys seem to call in and say, I like Kucinich, but.
Mm-hmm.
I like Kucinich, but.
Right.
And, of course, I'll settle for Dean, or if I have to, for Kerry, or for, God forbid, Lieberman. There's something here about the psychology of motivation, I think, that we have to keep in mind. We're setting ourselves up almost for a self-fulfilling prophecy by constantly saying, I like Kucinich, but
mm-hmm.
I don't think he can get elected. If we keep tagging Kucinich with, I don't think he can get elected,
right.
By golly, we're just crazy enough carry that thought all the way through.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I am guilty of that. And I said several weeks back that given the fact that this is a media-driven society and Q Factor in front of a camera and so on and so forth, and Kucinich just looks like an average dude. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have good looks and so on and so, and his clothes hang funny. I've been guilty of that, and I agree with you 100%, and I have stopped saying that. If you've been listening to this program on a regular basis, I have stopped saying Kucinich is my man, but he can't be elected.
I'm old enough to remember, and I'm a Catholic, and I'm old enough to remember when people said, I like Kennedy.
But he's a Catholic.
But he's a Catholic.
Right.
And Catholics will never get elected. Look at Al Smith, you know, and stuff like that. And,
right.
So I think, you know, it's like when you ask somebody to do something for you that you really want done, and the best that they'll say to you is, I'll try.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the best commitment that anybody can give you when you ask them to do something that you really need to get done, frankly, you must push them to say, can you make it a little bit stronger than that?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think maybe that's what we need to encourage everyone who calls in who says that they are for Kucinich.
Well, you've made the point. You made the point very very well, and I'm glad you did, because I would not have stopped to think, that has to be cleared up. I'm glad you made that point. It's a very good one. You know, the self-fulfilling prophecy or whatever you want to call it. You know, setting oneself up for failure is something we Americans are inclined to do. So you make a very good point. I'm glad
we
that you made the point.
We can't even risk a little bit of that. Right.
I hear that. I hear that loud and clear.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
All right, thank you, John.
So, and keep going.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. He makes an excellent point. John makes an excellent point. Excellent point. And all right, now before we, I've got to get these in. This is Bush. I've only got a couple here. He is at the 2003 biotech convention. He is touting his BioShield program, whatever the hell that is, to biotech scientists. Now, you have to feel sorry. No, you don't. You have to just sit there and shake your head. when this stupid man tries to talk about science instead of war. There's no message in this little soundbite I'm going to play for you. It's just kind of macabre fun listening to him read the part of his prepared speech. For example, when he talks about monoclonal antibodies, he knows as much about monoclonal antibodies as I know about the interior of the sun. No, I take that back. I know more about the interior of the sun than he knows about monoclonal antibodies. But we know he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, doesn't even have a clue. So let's just kick back for 22 seconds and giggle.
Thanks to biotechnology, we may soon be able to grow life-saving therapies and useful chemicals in plants.
Wah, wah.
Biotechnology might allow scientists to produce large amounts of monoclonal antibodies, which target specific disease-causing molecules without attacking healthy cells.
Without attacking healthy cells. Yeah, right, okay. Did you notice there where he pauses right before he says monoclonal antibodies and then pauses afterwards? That's when he lifts his face up from the prepared script, puts that little smirk very quickly on his face like, I did it, I said it. See, Carl, I did say it. Here he is again. Even at a biotech convention, there's always room for some discussion, though, about the evildoers, right? Too stupid to be president here says the number one challenge of biotechnology is to, here's a surprise, fight terror. Gee, and I thought it was to cure diseases and improve world health. Silly me.
The biotechnology industry finds itself on the front lines of some of the great challenges of our time.
Quack, quack.
The first challenge is the need to fight terror.
Well, of course.
All of us know the great possibilities of modern science.
Yeah.
When it is guided by good and humane purposes.
Yeah, sure you do, George.
We understand as well the terrible harm that science can do in the hands of evil people.
Or non-Christians? Huh? How about Muslims and Jews? What kind of evil science do they produce, George? And Catholics, let's not forget the Catholics. God, this man is stupid, as well as sick. Now, Bush will not shrink from the duty, his duty, to defend America from the grave dangers of biotechnology.
We know that our enemies have ambitions to acquire and use biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons.
Quack.
We will not sit idly by as these threats gather.
Slowly now, George.
And we will continue.
Three words.
To act before dangers are upon us. These are times of great challenge for this country. Our country must continue to meet the grave dangers of biotechnology.
So he takes his whole speech and the last word shreds it. Didn't you mean bioterrorism, you dumbass? Our country must continue to meet the grave dangers of biotechnology. Now, you've got to understand, these are biotech scientists sitting there. And they're listening to this moron. And at the very end, he says, our country must continue to meet the grave dangers of biotechnology. Can you see these scientists looking at each other? Marge, what is it? I don't know, Ralph. I have no idea what he just said. We're producing grave dangers here? Well, the truth is, you know, sometimes even, what's the old saying, even a stop clock is right twice a day, and an infinite number of monkeys on an infinite number of typewriters and so on and so forth. There are grave dangers to biotechnology. But George doesn't know what they are. George doesn't understand what happens when you start tweaking the germ that produces corn or wheat or tomatoes. George doesn't understand what happens when you put a frog gene into an ear of corn. So, yes, there are dangers of biotechnology. But what he meant to say was bioterrorism. Stupid, stupid, stupid man. Tom is calling our Anchorage, Alaska bureau chief. Hey, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. I just take a second. I know you have other callers, but I have a nephew, Nicholas Koenig, who was just deployed, and he's going to Tikrit, Iraq, the birthplace of Saddam Hussein,
right,
and the most violent place in Iraq. And I just wanted to ask your listeners, to please offer up their prayers to whatever God they believe in, be it the Wiccan religion, whatever religion, to please offer up their prayers to my nephew, Nicholas Koenig.
To get his self home. Correct?
What's that?
To get him home.
To get him home, please.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. What's his name again?
Nicholas Koenig.
Nicholas Koenig. You got it, Tom.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking in.
But it seems you're out of stock. There's nobody home. When I ask if I can count on you. Nobody home. You take off your gloves and shoes. There's nobody home.
So you can use your God-given talents, your fantastic brains, to better protect America.
But I can't see there's nobody home. Oh, no, there's nobody home. I love your smile, but when you talk, there's nobody home. I love it when you speak your mind. Nobody home. It's nice to have some quiet time. There's nobody home. The sign says there's no vacancy, but everything you say to me convinces me most certainly there's no.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the charts.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by recruiting will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Dave Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Fan ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan ji la.
You know everything.
Xie xie.
I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Tracy's calling from Silver Springs. Hey, Tracy.
Hi, Mr. Malloy. How are you?
Please, please, please. Mike.
I know.
All right.
I'm just deferring to your greatness.
Yeah, okay, yeah, right.
Anyway, I just wanted to say that I have decided what I'm going to do, and I think we spoke a couple of weeks ago, and I was kind of already in this camp about being pragmatic and going mm-hmm. with Kerry.
Right.
And I saw Howard Dean on Meet the Press.
Right.
And that blew it for me because he waffled so much.
Mm-hmm.
He was incredibly bad. So I have registered for the Move On primary.
Okay.
MoveOn.org.
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
And I'm going to vote for Kucinich and see how he does. If Kucinich does not win in Iowa or New Hampshire, I'm going to drag on with the pragmatic bunch and go with Kerry because I think, you know, he's liberal enough. But I want to say this. If, and we talked about this too, Mike, and I'll get off. If by some chance that Lieberman wins the nomination, I'm going to have to sit this one out.
Well, I don't blame
you. Know,
you.
I am.
Right. I don't blame you for that, but rather than sit it out, vote for, you know, it looks like Nader may run again.
Well, can't do
then
that.
Somebody.
Can't
but
do it.
I honestly don't believe that anybody should not vote.
I agree.
There will be a candidate. It'll be on an independent ticket someplace or an independent candidate someplace, but I, you know, maybe I put too much emphasis on this, but
right.
It's the only thing that we have in this country. And I know a lot of cynics and
sure.
pragmatic cynics say, well, you don't even have the choice of voting anymore because they decide your candidates for you. And there is an element of truth to that.
Yeah.
But I won't sit it out. I said before I was considering that. I will find somebody to vote for.
Yeah.
But,
all right.
You know, do the Molly Ivins thing. Vote your conscience in the primary. Vote your pragmatism in the general. If that's how I have to do it,
you bet.
I hear that
all
loud
right.
and clear. All right, thanks
bye-bye.
A lot. Appreciate you checking in, Tracy. All right, folks, we're flat out of time. Gosh, I didn't have to cut anybody off by saying, "Hey, we're flat out of time. Got to go." Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Stephanie Stryker, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Thanks to Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, for all the good music. And, of course, Mark Marshall of MaximumInteractive.com for the website. If you haven't been to MikeMalloy.com, I have one question for you. Why not? Why not? I'll see you tomorrow. I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Yeah,
listening to you sing Back on the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There is a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call.